tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Soprano.
Nobody knows.
Oh. It's just such a polite version tonight.
Yeah, I like it.
We're totally like the Pips.
But when did we feel entitled that we needed to sing that? Like,
well, what else are you supposed to do?
Oh.
The song comes on, you know it, you sing it.
You sing it. True. I like it.
Welcome to the show, Grey's Anatomy fans. I'm Julie Parton.
And I'm Star Session. Welcome back, guys.
We are recapping tonight, season 11, episode 3.
Yes, we're moving right along.
Entitled, Got to Be Real.
It's gotta be real.
Mm. And this episode, to me, was like, got to be heavy.
Yeah.
This had some of the heaviest acting scenes I've seen in Grey's in a while.
There was a ton of monologues in this episode where people got to express their feelings.
Right.
So I felt like it was heavy in that way when it came down to the monologues.
There seems to be patient-heavy episodes and then acting monologue-heavy episodes.
Yeah,
and this one was definitely on that side. And you know what? There's a third category, too, we can't forget about, which is just like full-on gore, which we had a little bit of. Those are Star's favorite.
My favorite, when there's blood and gushing and branches coming out of places, it like reels me in
every
time.
It has been a while since somebody was fully impaled by a large object. I'm glad they bring that back around.
I loved it. Oh my goodness. It was a good episode tonight. I mean, we finally got to talk about the whole Maggie situation in a way that like, Meredith is realizing that she has a sister. And
that was basically the thing. That last episode, we kind of were shocked by Meredith's reaction. What are you trying to get at? You're not my sister. You're a giant liar.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know the truth. We had to see Meredith eat crow and figure out she was totally wrong and totally mean.
Yeah, well, let's start off with the top of the episode. But before we do that, hi, fans. We would love for you guys to don't forget to use the hashtag GreysABTV. That's where everyone is tweeting. Are we going to shout out some fans before we jump into the episode?
Absolutely. Dynamite Jack, Devin Lamar,
Sanjo B.
Alicia Harding, been around forever. We love you, girl.
Yeah, that's right.
Kashina.
Talabatar.
Genesis Cruz.
Alyssa Harding.
Crow Crow Float. I love that name. Taltia Batar. Megan Salas. Oh, there's so many that love this one. Monica, Master Theorist. Krista Nia. And JJC Forever. And Kelly, we miss you guys tonight.
Yeah, so Jason's out of town for the next couple of episodes, and Kelly just couldn't make it tonight. So shout out to you guys. We miss you, and we can't wait for you guys to be back.
If you happen to be one of our viewers in Phoenix, Jason's going to be on the morning show
for the
next month. So check him out on there.
Woo!
I'm sure he'll have a little tamer of a mouth, but we can't guarantee it.
Isn't it more New Mexico?
New Mexico?
Yeah.
Oh.
We don't know the deets. Follow JJC Forever on Twitter. Let's jump into the episode.
Yeah, so some people say online that they like it better when it's just two hosts.
Yeah.
Less talking over each other.
Which we will probably do anyways.
As I just did it when you were saying that. I like the four of us, but it's fun too.
Yeah.
It's fun too.
So we start off the episode and Karev is taking a shower and he's all in the nude and Meredith is jibber-jabbering off about if she has a sister or not. Clearly, Karev isn't even paying attention because he's so wrapped into what he has to deal with, which is getting ready for the board meeting so he can hopefully be on the board.
Get himself a job. As he said, he needs a job.
Yeah.
And Meredith is just in there yammering her mouth off, ripping the curtain open.
Love that. I wish we kind of got a full view of Karev. But from what Meredith said in the episode, that his junk is looking really good and Joe is, you know, a very lucky girl, but she could care less.
Yeah, so Meredith is taking all of this energy that she used to talk to stuff about to both her husband and her best friend and putting it all on Alex.
Yeah.
I know he said he would be his person. This seems like a strange and appropriate choice.
He kind of didn't really want to be her person
last
episode. So, you know, and that's what he said. He's like, I know I'm supposed to, like, maybe buy you tampons, but this is, like, going overboard. Like, privacy is didn't really work out with, you know, Yang and Meredith. They weren't private people, so he has to get on board, you know?
This is strange.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
He has a girlfriend that's not her. She has a husband that's not him. It's a strange choice.
And Joe's right outside the door, listening in.
As she should be.
I love that she was definitely getting annoyed because that was, she called it my Alex. And I love that she's claiming him.
You know what? If I was her, I do not care if that was my superior, if she was mean, if she was intimidating. That wouldn't happen for 1 second.
Yeah. I mean, Edwards was like, just go in there and be naked with him.
It was hilarious that she's like, I'm not scared of her. Meredith walks out. Whoa, they have two.
Yeah.
Hi, Dr. Gray.
Totally scared of her, but whatever. I mean, Meredith is scary these last few episodes.
She really is. I would not want to go head-to-head with her, even if she was drunk.
It would be weird just to be even in the house, like, outside of work. And inside of work, being scared of her is normal. But being outside of work and scared of her, it's like, this is my house. This is where I live. Like,
yeah,
you need to take it down a notch, Meredith.
So if Meredith is drunk at Alex's, where are the children?
They're at daycare. Don't worry about that.
They can't stay overnight at daycare. They can't. Well,
Derek was on top of it. Derek didn't even ask where she was.
Derek was taking care of the kids because we know the other shepherd wasn't either.
Mm.
They were just being taken care of by no one.
That it's like made up land, and we just have to go with the story, Julie. You're breaking all the rules here.
I can't not think about the children. Think about the children, Star.
Okay, fine.
So she was standing in there, and she's like, you're not listening to me. But she obviously had been talking for a while, and she's like, she thinks she's my biological sister. Shpink. That got him to open the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I mean, Karev really stepped up to the plate. Because with this whole scene that they had together, he really knew how to hack the system when it came down to figuring out the intel.
That to me was ridiculous.
Really?
Yes, this is why. They're quote-unquote breaking the law and using Meredith's access to get to the back end of the computer and go in and scroll through to find her birth date.
Yeah.
Really? There's not easier ways to find her birth date? Like, Facebook doesn't exist at Seattle Grace Mercy West.
Yeah. They scrolled all the way back to 1983. Like, they didn't even have computers back then, and it's kind of interesting that they transferred over all the files, but great.
Yeah, so Phenomenal. First they wanted to find the birth date, and then they wanted to find out why the mom was in the hospital. That I could see. That I can see going into the back end of the computer or whatever, but we find out, and this was jumping ahead a couple of scenes, but we find out Meredith was wrong. She does indeed have a sister.
Yeah, of course she has a sister. We knew it episodes ago. You know, we knew that was actually her sister.
I still didn't think she looked enough like her. Maybe. I don't know. Somebody said online they wished it was a brother. It'd be a different dynamic than Lexi.
Ooh,
and now I really wish it was a brother, too.
I do, too. A brother would have been way better.
I know.
But
why didn't they think of it?
Because they wanted someone to replace Yang, in a sense, mm-hmm. I feel like. And I feel like, you know, that girl character... If them not being best friends right now, maybe they'll be best friends soon enough.
Probably Shonda, too, fell really in love with this actress.
I think she's really good, minus the ending monologue, but we'll get there.
I don't like the character. I don't like the character development, but this actress is good.
I like her.
I can see why she would be enamored by her.
Yeah, I like her acting. I'm in love. I'm team
they're
Maggie.
They're like, she doesn't look like she could have a white mom, black dad. We'd rather it be a man, but she's so cute. Let's bring her on.
Let's just bring her on anyways. Who cares?
So yeah, this episode was really, really more about the interpersonal drama than the patients.
Yeah.
And so some of the other things that we went through, one of the serious ones was Callie went with Owen to speak to the vets.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't honestly remember her getting a ton of money for this grant project.
I think she brought her own money into the project from her earnings from the plane crash and all of that.
Oh, did she?
I think so.
Eh.
Yeah.
Anyway, potato, potato.
Either way, money is behind this, and they're going to give this guy $1 million leg, and he gets to...
More than $6 million.
Yeah.
How much the leg was going to cost.
It was crazy. No, I think they were making the joke of the $6 million man.
Right. But then he's like... And then she's like, oh, more than $6 million.
Oh.
So this is an expensive robotic leg.
So the vets, honestly, half of them were amputees, didn't have legs, and, you know, Owen was going in there with, like, these are my people, you know, these mm-hmm. are who I went to war with, these are the people that I'm standing up for, and so he was really gung-ho going into this. Callie was reluctant, you know, she said it from the beginning, she has a lot on her plate, she has a lot going on, and she can't handle too much right now. And she made that very clear, and he was not listening at all. Owen had a mission, and it backfired.
So it was funny to me whenever they walked in the room, because we get the preface before, oh, these are vets. And then we walk in, and you see from a wide angle, yes, they're all amputees. Then the camera proceeded to, like, zoom in on every single person. Okay, we get it. We know why they're there. But Owen had a deep, deep personal, emotional, boundaries cross connection to these people because he was searching for something and he wanted to connect with these guys as a vet himself.
Yeah.
Because it very well could have been him.
Yeah, of course, it could have been him. But he went around barking orders towards Callie. I mean, he kind of amped up the patient first, saying, like, oh, this is going to be great for you. And the guy was really reluctant. You know, he didn't want to have a fake leg because the last few that he had hurt him. It hurt worse than just not having a leg at all. And he made, that's a great point, you know, like, how is this going to be different? And Callie, at that standpoint, was not really caring what was going to be different about it, you know?
Well, what sucks about this is that, like, he built him up, he talked him into it, built him up, talked him into it, right?
Yep.
All is good, and then it comes crashing down. Don't you hate it when that happens in life?
Well, yeah.
You set somebody up on a blind date or something, you're like, they're great. And then they blow it for you.
Yep.
You get their hopes up when they didn't want to be up in the first place, and then they crushed it. Okay. So what happened after Buzz is you all saw the episode. This guy finally got on board, was stoked about the leg. He was even taking pictures with it, loved the possibility of it happening.
Right.
Callie was doing some testing and figured out that his nerves were not reacting to his muscles, so he was not a good candidate for this robot leg.
Yeah. And so Owen ordered her, Callie, to do the surgery, figure out a way, you know, to get this guy to have this leg, even though she was like, all hope is lost. And I love this scene. This scene was released on Facebook earlier this week through the Grey's Anatomy fan page. And I was like, oh.
The big fight?
The big fight between Callie and Owen.
See, I think that this actress and this character, more than most of them on the show, I believe her when she goes on a power trip.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like her and Bailey are maybe the only ones that I kind of take seriously. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because they're not mad all the time. They don't try to bring in the big guns all the time. But when Callie goes ballistic and just wants people to get in line, I believe her.
Yeah. I totally believe her.
This was a good fight in terms of grace.
Yeah, it was like, a good fight.
There was a lot of fights this episode, and this was really the only one I thought was very effective.
Well, because she put him in his place, and he needed to be put in his place, and he needed to, like, step back. He's the chief of surgery, but he's not the chief of this, you know.
Research project,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So you're not
the chief of my lab, something like that.
Love that. Yeah. I love that she put him in place and that everyone was watching, and she was right.
In the hallway.
Completely right.
So then Avery comes over and he's like, heard you had a big fight in the hallway.
Okay, Avery is just beautiful. Like, come on. Like, every time he comes in the room, I just love it.
He's not as hot as my husband, but I did tell Star, sometimes I forget, and then the camera rolls to him, and I'm like, oh
Avery.
Yes.
Hi, Avery.
Avery's still on the show.
I love it.
And he still has those eyes.
He still has those. It's interesting that he's just now coming into the season, basically. This is his big.
He really has. That's a great point. We haven't seen him much.
We just, like, haven't seen him. He was all last season, and now they're, you know, focusing on Meredith this season. Which I love. But with that said, like, Avery doesn't want to be a hall monitor anymore. And I feel like he's trying to turn into the old chief.
Weber.
Yeah.
So, yeah, his mom bought him the hospital. So I guess he really is the boss of everyone. Then.
Mm-hmm. He is. And he's sick of, like, trying to enforce the rules. And I thought that was a really cute little monologue, another monologue there.
Right.
He wants to be more than that. He loves the art and the craft and surgery, and he misses it. And
well, then why is he doing the hospital thing, you know?
He never wanted it in the first place.
Yeah,
is what
he
it
should
looked
hire
like.
Somebody else to do it.
Well, he's on the board. It's not just him. It's the board.
Yeah, the all-powerful, the almighty board. But he's still the boss of all the board.
Yeah.
He's the boss of the entire board, and he's sick of it. But he proves himself to be a brilliant surgeon here because he's like, oh, I could fix that.
Yeah.
The nerves aren't connecting to the muscles. I could fix that.
I can reroute
those nerves.
Yeah, why not? I love that. I love that he was just not making fun, but, like, he's sick of just doing butt lifts and
yeah,
booty lifts. And I'm like, that sounds fun to me. Like, can I get a butt lift?
He's like, I want a real intense, beautiful surgery.
And he got it. So it was really great because he went into surgery and he showed that this is what he loves to do. He ended up fixing the nerves on this guy's leg. And from there, you know, we'll see what's going to happen with the bionic leg.
Yeah, him and Callie made a discovery right then that if they did this at the end of surgery, it could revolutionize the way that they do what is it called when you cut a limb off?
Amputation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It would revolutionize the way that they do amputations, because if they were planning on lining the nerves up with something later, they could just go ahead and do it.
Yep, and I think that's smart.
Yeah, it was beautiful. But before that surgery happened, we hear from Owen, and I'm over this. I'm 100% over this. We hear from Owen why he's needing this vet thing to come through.
Lord.
Blah, blah, blah. I need some hope. My wife is gone. We've heard it before.
He's missing Christina Yang.
And we all are. It's nice that they acknowledge
her. I'm not missing her. I don't really miss her. I mean, it's...
Honestly, I don't either.
Yeah, I don't miss her being on... You know, like, there's not, like... When someone leaves from a show, you're like, oh, we need that character back. Like, her exit was beautifully done. We've said this before, and we're moving on.
I think that the writers are taking all of her one-liners and giving them to Amelia.
Mm.
I do miss her one-liners. She was hilarious.
Yeah, that's true.
But her as a full-on character, I thought her absence would be more felt.
Yeah.
And it's not. And I don't think it's due to Maggie either.
No. But, you know, Owen missing her, I mean, it's filling a void because he has no one to go sneak off into the room with, you know, and have a little nookie. He doesn't have that, like,
his
fun.
Break buddy's gone.
Yeah. And then he had that ex-girlfriend from last season. Like, he has no action. He's just that single guy. Well, and he's
Yeah, that's what
that.
He said. Am I going to be the single guy? Am I going to be alone forever? Am I never going to have a family? Come on, Owen. She just left.
1 week ago.
Seriously.
Dun, dun, dun.
Even if it was a year in Grace, she left. You know what? You're young. You're a doctor.
Forever.
You still have all your hair.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine. Go find that other girl he didn't like. He's like, she was my dream and I let her go. No, that's not how it went with that relationship. You guys might have had good chemistry, but you got married on a whim and then you had a terrible, tumultuous relationship from the get-go.
And a horrible divorce.
They even got divorced and got back together. It's not like this was his dream soulmate that he's not whole without.
No,
he can
move
on.
I feel like that monologue was definitely forced out of all the monologues out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more that's forced, but we'll get to that.
As he was saying that, I interrupted and I was like, and this is my monologue that we're going to submit for my Emmy nomination.
Yeah, like completely trying too hard.
Yeah, so,
personally. I just, it didn't really.
And here's the thing.
Didn't speak volumes
here's the thing,
to me.
Star. This, I just realized what was so wrong with that moment.
What?
He is a war veteran. They should have focused it on that. He should have needed that in his life because he's a war veteran and he needed to see restoration in those guys' lives.
I had no idea he was going to bring up Yang. I was like, so last season.
Seriously, bring up the fact that you were there and you saw this and it could have been you and you want to make their lives better.
That's what I thought he was going to say.
Don't make it about this woman who tortured you for the past 6 seasons or whatever.
I thought that's what he was going to say, that it was about the vets, but maybe that would have been more too predictable.
You know what? Still should have been.
Still.
Yeah. It would have tugged at the heartstrings more.
I'm with you on that one. It was just kind of like, whatever. So it's going to be great now that they're friends again, Callie and Owen, and now they brought in Avery. They have a nice little team, and Avery's on board. I mean, they were trying to do cutbacks, which is interesting, and now they want to bring on...
I think this is a separate funding source.
Yeah, maybe.
But what was funny is they're bringing Avery on. You could tell he's excited, and he's like, well, you really could use someone with my expertise. And then it was the most hilarious line, don't act like you know kids on the playground.
Yeah, like he's trying to be cool. Like,
don't act like that, Avery.
Yeah, crazy.
That was fun. I actually am interested in this. I'm interested in the storyline to see where it goes, to see her develop robotic legs.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, but it's definitely going to be, these next few episodes are going to show how busy Callie really is, because Callie put more on her plate, even though at the beginning of the episode she said she didn't want it.
Right.
And then she has her partner, Arizona, who is trying to juggle it all and cannot.
Why did Arizona take on this second fellowship? I get it. I get it that it's good. And I think I understand a little bit more this episode what it is. It's like fetal surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
In utero surgery.
Yep.
That's cool. I like the stories that also open up. I like that medicine in general in real life. But really, Arizona did not need to do anything else.
Well, I love how they always showed her running around with like 8 binders all the time. Like, you got your binders? All right, to set. Here we go.
For heaven's sakes, get that woman an iPad or something.
Exactly. She had too many patients this episode where she clearly couldn't catch up. That was her line. Like, just let me catch up and I'll definitely start filling out the paperwork for the fellowship. She didn't even know her fellowship started, you know? And Gina Davis was totally playing that bitch role where she's like, hey, I need you to have a notepad and taking notes. Well, this is
Why
not
aren't
a
you taking notes?
This is not a peer friendship here. Yeah. This is work. And
which was totally different than whenever she recruited her. I'm sort of wondering, why didn't she get somebody who really wanted the fellowship, who didn't already have a full career, who that's what they really wanted to do?
Not even that, but why there was no scouting. It's just like, hey, you like babies. Want to do this? can we get some candidates?
Like, yeah, maybe an interview process.
Any interns that may be interested or people that have moved up?
Yeah, it was sort of like, you're the baby person, I'm the baby person. Yeah.
Because I feel like a fellowship is something for someone who, you know, wants to specialize in something new or needs, you know, someone that needs it. She clearly doesn't need it. Right. She's got a lot going on. And when it came down to it, she's not ready to have another baby. She didn't want to carry the next baby with Callie. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think she was going to make it to the surrogate meeting that they had at night, which is weird.
Right.
I didn't even think she was going to make it. She was so freaking busy.
And Callie called her out. She's like, you didn't want to carry it. I couldn't carry it. You wouldn't carry it. You wanted to do this. You didn't even show up to this. And so whenever Callie started talking to her, Arizona jumped the gun. Like, are you saying you don't want this?
Yeah.
I feel like my husband and I have gone through this before. Like, if I stall and stall and stall on a decision, the decision's already kind of made.
Yeah.
I just don't want to do it. Or I would have made it happen months ago.
Yeah.
That's sort of the same.
We're getting knowing about your personal life. I love it.
I think that's everybody.
Yeah.
You don't admit it to yourself that you don't want something. You're like, oh, well, this, or I need to do this, or I need to do this. You just don't.
It's excuses.
Yeah.
And with that said, Callie picked on it up on it that moment.
Excuses, procrastination, all of it.
And it's the fact that their relationship isn't steady as it is, and it hasn't been, and they're still just on that rocky ground. They should take this year to relax. You know what I mean? They're like adding more fuel to the fire, and every time they add more fuel to the fire, they can't last. They don't handle it well. So I think it was a bad decision to think about this child, and they never really told us at the end of the episode if they went through with it or not. Though
they just had that woman come out. Hello.
Hello.
So you don't want to have this baby? You don't want to have this baby. You don't want to have... Hello. She had to have heard him.
Yeah, totally awkward. But, I mean, they did leave us with her crying, with Callie crying.
Right.
And saying that she just wants something good to happen for her. And, you know, opening up to Owen. Owen wanted something good to happen. So did she. And I thought that moment, I really believed her when she was crying. Like, Callie... She knows she's a great actress. I think she knows what she's doing.
She might be my favorite on the show.
She's pretty actress. Good.
But the thing about that is that it's Grey's Anatomy. So why don't they just have a second baby and we never see it again? Mm. How many times have we even seen Bailey?
Yeah.
That's his name, right?
The baby?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Never around.
Yeah, not at all.
I could see the struggle, though. It's huge. It's huge when you have a career you love and you also want to start a family.
Speaking of.
I feel like they should.
Have another child.
Yes.
They can't even handle each other. They're so selfish and ridiculous.
Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe they need to take a little bit of time with their relationship, but I feel like to put their careers in front of that, I don't know, the career's going to last. They can keep doing it.
Sure, why not?
I want them to have another one.
I don't know. We'll see. You guys chime in. Don't forget to use the hashtag GraysABTV and let us know what you think. Do you think that they should have this second child? Do you think it's too soon for them to have a child? Or are we just over these characters
altogether? The consensus that I've seen from people talking to us on YouTube and iTunes and Twitter, pretty much everybody's over this but me.
Yeah.
And it must be because I have kind of baby brain right now. I'm a little bit obsessed with the entire process.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to hear about it but me.
I could hear about it from other characters, but not from these characters. I love babies.
You're
come on.
Been there, done that, not from these two.
Yeah, just not from these two. So don't forget to go on to iTunes and rate, comment, and subscribe and give us 5 stars, as well as on YouTube as well. And we love the comments. The comments, just the thread is so much fun. So.
Everyone is so smart.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they were on the show with us, too.
I know. I wish they could just be sitting right here like, no.
Then there'd really be a lot of talking over each other.
Right? That's true.
So also on this episode, and this was really interesting to me because I didn't see it coming. I don't know why I didn't. Shepherd versus shepherd. This was fun.
Shepherd versus shepherd. Yes.
Shepherd versus shepherd is awesome because those two characters look like they should be brother and sister and they have the same job.
Yeah. And okay, so let's just start off. This patient comes in. Let's talk about the patient because that's where the whole drama comes in.
Two patients today was Tree Branch Guy, which... that was hilarious. We hardly even saw him. Tree Branch Picture Guy. And then Head Injury, No Helmet Guy. Wear your helmet, people. There's no excuse not to.
Oh, I thought that was the same person.
No.
He rear-ended him with the motorcycle. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, there was two. One had a tree branch through him, and that's who Weber operated on.
Okay.
And did that, like, whoopee fast.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah, whoopee fast
thing.
Catching
up, guys.
And then the head injury guy, he didn't wear a helmet. And that's the one that the shepherds were fighting over.
Okay, perfect. We're on the same page. So, with that said, it was her patient, and Shepherd... Guys, there's so many shepherds. Derek walked in and wanted to take over, and he was just really feisty. He was as feisty as Meredith usually is. And I just feel like he was taking it out on her.
He was just running over his sister.
Yeah, because he was taking it out on her that he didn't take that job. And I felt like he, you know, I wrote it right here. I knew that he was just like, my sister, since Meredith hasn't been around, she's been at Karev's looking at him naked in the shower, which he doesn't even know about. But, you know, I feel like he was just taking all of his aggression out on her, and it wasn't fair.
It wasn't fair at all. And Kepner just caught in the middle. You've put me in a terrible position. April got so much screen time last year and hardly any this year.
Well, yeah, I feel like we've got, you know, she's got to have this baby on set. We've got to get into that storyline, but I feel like that's going to be.
Yeah, they down just the... have not spent much time on her at all.
No.
But what's funny, I thought it was hilarious. Amelia's like, bite me. Really? Are you guys siblings again? But so he thought it was out of her league. He took it over. She was furious, reasonably. The guy died. He was the last case to begin with, they said. But then it all came out. This was completely 100% about him not taking that job. It would have changed the face of medicine.
I knew it.
He just swiped it from her, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she just told him flat out, like, you made this decision.
He regrets.
Live with it.
Yeah, he regrets his choice. And I mean, everyone has regretted something that they've done. The people can be like, I live with no regret. There's one thing that I'm sure you've regretted, and you don't know how to handle it. You know, I had an audition last week, and I bombed it. I regret it. You know, but there's things that you can, and then you just relive it. You wish you could change it. And he can change it. This doesn't have to be the end of his career, being the head of neurosurgery. You know, that doesn't have to be it. And he's thinking this. Maybe he should write a book, you know?
I think he's thinking that was the top that any neurosurgeon would be.
Mm-hmm.
And
anybody would want that job.
Yeah, he's thinking that. And he should. But I don't know exactly how it should have gone, but he can't have this resentment for the decision he made. But at the same time, Meredith put him in an impossible position.
Exactly.
Meredith, yeah. So let's just go into that because...
Let's do it.
Meredith. Okay. She's being impossible.
Well, first of all, she didn't even talk to Derek about that
She said, I can't talk to him right now.
Yeah. Like, you didn't even tell your husband that you possibly might have a sister?
Like, she's like, I want to stay here. My career's here. My family's here. And he's like, okay, I'll stay with you.
Yeah.
But then she's mad about that. No, you should have gone. So basically, she doesn't want them together anymore? Was she over the relationship before that job from the president even came?
I don't think so. I think the resentment started when she was supposed to have her year, and he started having his year.
Oh.
And the resentment just kind of built up. And I feel like over time, like, you didn't, like, how you do with your husband, you just don't really say it until it's like...
You know what?
So you gotta say it.
Resentment festers.
It festers, you know? He wanted
like
to buy that
bacteria.
Flat screen and you weren't down, you know?
Like, I get it.
Little things. So.
Okay, so yeah, so it was building since then. And she's just, okay. So then at the end, and we'll come back to the other thing, but she comes to the hospital drunk.
Love.
Like, it really is funny.
To make decisions.
We miss Party Meredith.
Yeah.
That is part of her character.
It was cute when she was talking to Karev and she was like, right now we would be dancing, okay?
Yeah.
Yang and I would be dancing, not going through, like, illegal files. Like,
actually,
I thought that was cute.
Let's come back to that very last conversation. Because let's just talk about the worst part of this entire episode.
Which is?
So the chief goes over to Meredith. That was cool. That was very, very honest. And this after buzzers is not the worst part. What's after this is. But this from the chief talking to Meredith about his daughter brought me to tears.
Really?
She's like, why didn't you tell me or something? And he's like...
You're talking about Maggie?
Yeah. And he's like, I wanted to know 30 years ago.
Oh, no, when she was talking to Meredith.
Yes.
When he was talking to Meredith, he was definitely like, I didn't have a choice in this.
Yeah,
you know,
he's
Ellis
like,
made the choice for me.
Yeah, I'd have loved to have been a father. He's like, she didn't give me any choice in that. I would have loved to have her in my life.
It was heartfelt. That was the monologue I loved tonight.
That's what I was going to say, too.
Number one monologue.
That might be the best acting moment I have seen from the chief.
Yeah.
I have never felt
finally doing
that emotionally.
Something.
I've never felt that emotionally connected to the chief, not even through Alzheimer's, not even through his fiance, nothing. But this, I feel it. I felt it from him.
Yeah.
He would have loved to have been that girl's father.
It's true.
Or at least have an option.
Yeah, he would have been a great father, and the option would have been to keep it. You know, he knew, you know, Ellis was sick back then in 1983. She was sick, and like, when she went into the hospital, she was saying she didn't even know she was pregnant. That's what was on the rap sheet. Mm-hmm. So with that said, is like, she was already off then. She had slits on her wrists. Like, it was a hard situation for her, but she didn't even like let him know. She just upped and moved to Boston. And I just felt like that storyline is a really essential storyline into why, you know, why he never knew.
This is what I'm saying about the whole Maggie thing. That I'm interested to see develop.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her father, who didn't know she existed until she was came back at 30, almost 31, because she and I almost had the same birth date. I can't believe somebody my age would be the head of cardio.
Oh, you could do it. You want to start now?
Really? You think I could be the head of cardio by tomorrow, which is my birthday?
Why not? Happy birthday, Julie.
Thanks.
She's trying to do her own selfish plug.
Oh, I just can't believe it's my birthday tomorrow.
Tweet her. Tweet her on her birthday.
Oh, thanks, Star, and thanks, everybody. I really didn't mean to bring that back. But I just, like, I really connect with that. And then, here's the worst part. He finally decides to tell her. And you could see why he wouldn't want to tell his daughter, Maggie, that he's the biological father, right?
Well, okay. This is the worst monologue of the night.
Awful. It wasn't. Okay. So he goes up to her at the end of the episode. Maggie. She's like this. Hey, don't you remember?
In her cute little pencil skirt. I was like, you go, girl.
He's like, I don't even remember exactly how it went, but this is how it felt like it went. Hey, Dr. Weber. Maggie, I have to tell you something. I knew it was you. You're cruel. You're evil. You're a liar. Run off.
Yeah. It was an interesting monologue. It just didn't really hit home for me.
What? Really? She's that mad that he waited a week?
Well,
she's like, since you didn't tell me earlier, you knew all along.
And there was a pause. And that was his moment to speak up, and he didn't. And I'm like, that's horrible
writing.
Probably
because he's shocked that she would even make a jump like that, just like I was. Why would she even think those two things were connected?
Well, she's a puzzle maker, you know, as from last episode. She's all about the puzzles, and she figured out the puzzle, and then she stepped back from it. But I'm not adopted, but if I were adopted, I would want to know. If, you know, if I confided in you, and you're like, maybe I'm your dad. It could have been as authentic as that, like, we had a relationship, you know, like in that moment when they were on the bench at the end of last season.
Here's what
that
bugs
would have
me.
Been the perfect moment to say that. But in that monologue, there was that long pause, and it wasn't realistic for him not to stop her.
None of it was realistic. What's not realistic about the show is when somebody's mad, they walk off.
Yeah.
You know, finish the conversation, or the other person follow them.
Yeah, not realistic. It didn't really pull me in there. It didn't make me want to come back next week. And Shauna really has to keep these viewers going, because we want to sit on this platform and talk about it, you know?
You can't make giant leaps like that.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me believe maybe Maggie's, like, more than... Remember how I said she's all over the place?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's more than... Maybe she's bipolar or something.
Well, people are saying on Twitter that maybe they're setting her up for Alzheimer's. There's, like, maybe there's a lot going on, you know? Like, who knows with this character? We're still getting to know her.
She's all over the place. I said that exact same thing last week.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the fact that she would move, find out her father, think that he knew the whole time, and just run off when he was trying to tell her. It was unrealistic. It was poorly written. It was a misfire in every level.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm sorry.
I'm with you.
They went like this. Huge value. Weber hit the nail on the head with that scene, talking about how he wished he was her father. And then, they just messed it up. They tore it in half.
Yeah, but if it would have went the other way and he would have been like, I never knew. Okay, first of all, you should have started off with, hey, I got something to tell you. I never knew until a week ago.
Yes.
And, I never knew. Like, I never knew about you. Like, I never knew, you know, like.
Like, 20 times.
Yeah, like.
By the way, I never knew, I never knew, I never knew.
And I've just been processing it. This is a shock.
If you'd want to hear from me.
I'm in shock. Yeah.
Yeah.
It came from a different place of, like, got something to tell you. Like, I don't know. It just wasn't interesting.
And it was just, I was hardly even there with them in the moment between whenever she made that jump. Oh, hey, I have something to tell you. I knew it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just the timing, the acting, something.
And they
something
had just had a beautiful moment together, operating in surgery, and He had been trying to tell her.
Yeah, the whole episode that he was kind of like her mentor in this episode. Like, she looked up to him and like, wow, you did that so awesome. Like, everything that he was doing that day. They had a really phenomenal day as daughter and daddy.
So if she,
like, even though they
if
didn't
she knew
know.
That whole time, why would she be so open to having that kind of mentor relationship with him, you know?
She didn't know, but she kind of knew. It's kind of one of those things where, like, he would have told.
It really would have been, like, 2 and 2. Okay, you knew my mom. You're a black guy.
Yeah.
She probably just could have made the jump then.
Yeah.
I feel like if she's so open with her words, she didn't ask him, did you maybe know the father?
There was a ton of things that Meredith missed. Meredith did not connect the dots sooner. I feel like she should have connected the dots. The moment she said, I might have a sister, like, and you're half black, maybe when my mom and she knew, like, maybe when my mom and, you know, them were together.
Yeah, she knew. She read the diaries for the past 7 seasons.
It's not a secret anymore. So she should have, the dots, she didn't want to believe that she could connect the dots. I think she knew in the back of her head, but I don't know. Just a few unrealistic things happened this episode.
And my heart is broken just that they fell flat in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had done such a great job with him before.
Yeah.
And that's a perspective that you don't often think about. If somebody has an unexpected pregnancy and they give it up for adoption, you don't think about the people who would have loved to know the child, you know? I don't have any experience with this. Just talking about how I was watching the episode.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting episode. But there was a lot of great music this episode.
Finally!
Yeah, I actually Shazammed it. Shout out to you guys. And Banks is the name of the artist, and she sang two of the songs. One was You Should Know, and the other one was The Waiting Game at the very end, which was a really great song. For that moment at the very end. And then there was another artist, which was Greaves, and they sang Woe Is Me. So,
fantastic.
If you're into music, there it is.
I did think that a lot of people last week were like, I agree with you, Jason J. Carter. Those are the things we come for.
Yeah.
The drama, the sex, the music.
That's right. I love it.
Well, we didn't quite touch on the tree branch guy, but that's basically all it was. We wanted to show a tree branch through a guy. They got it. Bailey got a selfie. Shpink.
I love the selfie.
That was
She's
hilarious.
Like, get out of the way. This is ridiculous.
The one thing we haven't touched on, but we'll touch on really, really quickly. Bailey got the spot on the board.
Yes. Before
that
we wrap
sucked.
It up.
I wish they both could have went on the board.
Well, I think last week I was rooting for Karef. I remember that specifically because he's the underdog and I'm always rooting for the underdog and he does deserve it and they both deserve it.
And I was rooting for Bailey because I feel like she's been there longer and worked harder. I think, I'll have to rewatch, but we all get predictions last week. I think I said Bailey.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But with that said, like, Bailey had that moment where she was about to cry.
Back with the Dora hair, unfortunately.
Yeah, the Dora hairdo was like horrible.
Why'd they get the bowl back? The bowl cut.
It's horrible.
But yeah, you're right. There was that moment where she thought she lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all had that moment where we realized we failed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great acting.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way you don't bring someone into the room first.
Right.
So the other one can come, you know, so they can gloat on the way out as the other one
it
comes in.
It was silly how they're like, Dr. Bailey.
All
okay,
loud.
Come on. It's like it's five people and they all know each other well. It's just ridiculous.
Well, it's a big moment. It's exciting and Bailey does deserve it and we're going to see what kind of power trip she's going to go on.
She is prone to those.
Yeah.
I do feel bad for Alex though.
Anyways,
we'll see. That
it was
guy
a good
needs
episode.
A job.
What do you rate it?
Oh, well, I don't know. I feel like this was heavy. This was deep. This was emotional. Not my favorite. It had the music. I don't want to give it too high or too low of a grade. I say 7.5, maybe 8.
Okay. Well, Dynamite Jack is on Twitter right now, and he's saying that no way did Bailey deserve it.
Why?
Yang gave his shares to Alex, which I'm on that team.
Okay. Well, if you think about it from that perspective, if you look at those two characters based on them as doctors and people, but if we're going strictly by the fairness and the bylaws of the whole thing, I guess that's right.
Yeah. So, anyways, it was pretty interesting. I kind of give this episode like a 7. What'd you say? 7.5?
7.5,
It just wasn't like, it was not a filler episode, but it gave us more information so we can keep moving on.
This was meaty. This was an app. Yeah.
It was an interesting episode.
Definitely.
Well, should we move on to news and gossip?
Absolutely.
I got a little something.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so today, Shonda released a report saying that she does not allow assholes on set. Those are her words. Those are her words, not mine.
Who was she talking about?
She was saying back in the day when it came down to all the different characters, there was a lot of drama on set, one thing after another. Katherine Heigl took back her Emmy because she said the writing wasn't good, don't nominate me. All that drama. And she was like, we do not do that anymore. When it comes down to drama, if it happens, you get nixed. Like Stephen Collins, who was going to have a recurring role on Scandal, he got nixed. And he's not coming back, even though he already shot it. You know, she's no filter. She doesn't care. She's kind of built this empire where if you're not in line, then you've got to go. And
she's,
I like
so
that
rich
attitude.
And powerful. She does not need to be nice anymore.
Yeah, there's no need for drama on set anyways. Like, who wants to deal with that?
And
in the first
Katherine
place?
Heigl doing that. Low.
Yeah.
And, gosh.
Well, she has a new show coming out. Looks like it's going to flop. Sorry to say. it's going to be on NBC, but yeah, she's coming back to TV. So that's
and
what I got. What do you have? Do you have anything?
I don't have any news or gossip off the top of my head, but I do have a couple of predictions.
Let's go to predictions.
So.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions.
We see next week, and this isn't so much a prediction as it is they told us it was going to happen, the marriage in jeopardy. I am not excited about this.
Between Meredith and Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's going to last several episodes, but I think, I hope, I pray, I predict it's going to come back around and we're going to feel the love of these two like we did with the Post-it note wedding.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, my prediction is I hope that they do stay together, but I honestly feel like this is going to be like some bad words are going to be said, and it might not be until the end of the season, maybe in May, that they might get back together, because I don't think that this is going to work out well.
And I, for some reason, I predict that Calzone is still getting a baby.
Okay, we'll see. I'm not really sure about that one. I'm over that storyline. I maybe want. I'd rather go to Kepner at this point. Like, I'd rather see the Kepner baby storyline versus the Cali Arizona. I mean, our fans are saying it. They need therapy. They don't need another
Absolutely.
Baby.
That's
so.
A good point. And I also predict that the Joe jealousy thing is not over, as it shouldn't be.
No, she needs to get all up in there and start pulling her hair and get out the back, you know.
Seriously, no? She could take Meredith. Anyone on this show could take Meredith. That girl is skinny.
I love that. And she's a dumpster diver. She knows how to get around.
Oh,
Joe,
it's true. I forgot
it.
About that backstory. She could take her.
She could take her. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm Star Session. Thanks for watching this week's episode, and we'll be back with more. Don't forget to follow me at StarSession.
And I'm Julie Parton. See you here next week. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, all the social medias at JULIEPARTIN.
Awesome. See you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.